The Final Edition Radio Hour is a work of satire intended for people who own books, gentrify neighbourhoods, and say they like kale. Please consume responsibly, the satire, that is.
The Large Hadron Collider near Geneva, Switzerland, is cranked up again in search of a parallel universe. The Final Edition asks the man on the street, what do you think?
I'm all for any universe where I can find a job.
I'm looking for a nice pair of tits universe.
You know, Einstein said, even if it's a parallel universe, it'll meet someday with your universe. I need a date.
I dream of a parallel universe, which is like our universe in every way, except in this parallel universe, my roommates occasionally buy toilet paper.
Why did he call himself Caitlin? I don't understand that.
I don't know anything about a particle collider, but I do know a lot about colliders.
I could get one of those white lab coats and walk around looking smart.
I tried to find a parallel universe, but instead I accidentally created parallel Unix.
So you're f***ing them?
I'll go anywhere that Gore won the election.
Hi, I'm from the mainstream media. I'm interviewing way out there presidential candidate Bernie Sanders, who doesn't have a Ben and Jerry scoop of Cherry Garcia's chance in hell of beating Hillary Clinton, let alone winning the election. Tell me, Bernie, how do you expect to win when you espouse national socialism, which the U.S. pretty soundly defeated in World War II?
I'm a democratic socialist, not a national socialist. National socialism was the Nazis.
And you're into Scarsdale socialism.
Scandinavian socialism.
Whatever. Now, you say the wealthy have grabbed most of our national wealth in the past 20 years, but don't wealthy people need that money in order to stay wealthy?
The billionaire class can't have it all.
If they don't have it all, they won't be billionaires, will they?
The top 1% can have more money than the bottom 99%.
Isn't that just a cliche?
Billionaires don't act like the rest of us.
What about Mark Zuckerberg? He's a billionaire, and he's still a dick.
63% of Americans agree that the current distribution of wealth is unfair.
How do you account for the fact that so many people agree with you, and yet you're completely out of step with them?
That's a good question. Why don't you tell me?
You're out of step because the mainstream media, of which I am a lackey, a buffoon, and a moron, doesn't take you seriously. Our highest priority is seeing to it that Hillary wins without any interference from national socialists like you.
I'm a democratic socialist. Stop trying to change me.
If we start taking you seriously, you'll have to change.
Never. I'm Bernie Sanders, not Caitlyn Jenner.
Huh. Join me next time when my guest will be Caitlyn Jenner, who's already gotten more coverage than Bernie has.
Amalgamated Bank means people.
I've seen the manager like 56 times. I've talked to everybody at the main office in Kansas City, but I still have over $1,000 in return check fees. And it's for the same check! It's not even mine! It's somebody else's check! They're debiting my account with someone else's check! How can they do that? Why are they doing this to me?
Amalgamated Bank. Our fees are slightly lower than everybody else's.
Amalgamated Bank.
Hello. I'm recently re-elected FIFA president, Sepp Blatter. And over the last few weeks, I have been reflecting deeply about the noble game.
Good first touch. And he's got this press conference off to a strong start.
I couldn't agree more, Tony. Blatter is showing that today, in a game of two halves, he's certainly game to play football.
I cherish our game, and I cherish FIFA.
Nice, nice. Cheeky bit of repetition there, chipping away with a light touch of rhetoric.
And so, the time has come for me to resign my position.
And here it is, the big play. Went at a crucial time in the game.
The size of the executive committee must be reduced, and its members should be elected through the FIFA Congress.
Oh, what a shot! But, oh!
Bounces it off the woodwork, and that's some strong defending from his own team, too.
We need term limits, not only for the president, but for all members of the executive committee.
Wow, strong use of parallel structure there.
The old correlative conjunction play. Solid, solid.
I have fought for these changes before, This time, I will succeed.
And a nice button there to round things off.
And I hope...
Oh, we thought it was over!
When this is all over, football will be the real winner.
It is now! Oh my God, the FIFA president resigning and taking a strong stand against corruption!
He really drew a line in the sand there, Tony, and crossed it.
Ah, too bad we don't have the technology to prove it.
The Final Edition Radio Hour presents great moments from the lives of the monarchs with the worst king names ever. Number 1, Piero di Cosimo de' Medici, ruler of Florence from 1464 to 1469, and known as Piero the Gouty. In this vignette, Piero the Gouty has just heard a lengthy petition from his subjects.
And so, your gout-riddled eminence, we beseech you to hear our entreaties and grant our petition for all the reasons just enumerated.
Huh? What are you talking about? Fuck, my toe hurts.
This has been Great Moments from the Lives of the Monarchs with the Worst King Names Ever from the Final Edition Radio Hour.
In anticipation of the upcoming Star Wars Episode 7, the Final Edition Radio Hour brings you more extended scenes of Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope.
I've been waiting for you, Obi-Wan. We meet again at last. The circle is now complete. When I left you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master.
Only a master of evil, Darth.
Wait. Why are you calling me Darth?
Because that's your name now, you master of evil.
But it's not really my first name. All the Sith are Darths. It's like Lord. My guys call me Lord Vader. But you wouldn't come in here saying, you can't win, Lord. That would be ridiculous.
As ridiculous as a little 3-foot dude who puts his adjective in front of the subject and the predicate all the time?
Don't get ahead of yourself, old man. Your powers are weak, old man.
Which is ironic, because my powers really should have become stronger with age.
This is true. So what have you been doing? Sitting in a cave eating donuts? If so, it was an idiotic idea to come fight me. I've been practicing with the dark side for a very long time, and I have not been eating donuts. I stay fit and evil.
You can't win, Darth. If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you could ever imagine.
You should not have come back.
I didn't.
What do you mean?
This Death Star is fairly new, correct? I have never been on this before.
To me. I meant to me.
But this was an accident. I never meant to be near you in the first place. This is just an unlucky coincidence. We thought this was a moon.
What do you mean, we?
Oh, shit. Okay. I'm going to let you kill me so my friends can escape.
What? Okay. I gotta kill you first. Here goes.
More powerful than you could...
Welcome to The Coke Tank. Charles and David Coke are self-made billionaires who inherited their fortunes from their father. Thanks to the Supreme Court, the Coke brothers plan to spend $1 billion in the 2016 presidential campaign. Next into The Coke Tank... Days after becoming governor of Wisconsin, Scott Walker crushed public employee unions, causing widespread protest, yet survived a recall and was elected for a second term. He's seeking $1 billion in exchange for an equity stake in his 2016 campaign for the White House.
Hello, Mr. Coke and Mr. Coke. I'm Scott Walker, and I need $1 billion so I can run for president.
$1 billion is a lot of money. Why do you need that much?
Well, I could probably scrape by with maybe $700 or $800 million. But if you give me the entire billion, most of the other Republicans will probably get depressed and quit.
Yeah, Governor, seeing you with $1 billion would be extremely depressing for a lot of people. So tell us why we should give you the money.
Mr. Coke, let me tell you a little story. I want to be president.
Go on.
That's it.
Any other reason we should give you $1 billion?
Well, as you know, I'm as far to the right as any of those other guys, but somehow I'm not as frightening because of my low-key demeanor. Look at me. I look like I should be selling real estate.
I know. If you become president, you'll be selling us the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge.
On my first day.
Right. Do you think you can beat Jeb Bush?
Oh, absolutely. Jeb Bush is completely screwed because of that thing with his brother in Iraq.
And what are you going to do about Iraq?
I am going to do everything I can to protect the American people from terrorism.
Uh-oh.
I don't mean everything.
What about ISIS?
As you know, Mr. Coke, I faced thousands of angry protesters in Madison, and eventually they gave up and went home.
So, what's your point?
Well, if you pretend those protesters were Islamic jihadists, and their unions were terrorist cells, it's kind of like I destroyed ISIS.
Yeah, kind of. What about people who say, sure, Walker's good in Wisconsin? It's Wisconsin. How hard can that be? What do you say to that?
Sir, ever since I became governor, millions of people have hated my guts, but I don't care. If I become president, I can get 100 times that many people to hate my guts, and I truly believe that I still won't care.
Governor, we like your enthusiasm. We think you're perfect, except for your chin.
Thank you so much. You know, my father was a preacher, and he used to say,
we'll give you the $1 billion, but we'll need 100% from you.
I promise you, you'll get 110% effort from me.
No, we'll need 100% of you, Governor, plus a receipt.
Mr. Coke, I think you know what my principles are.
Yes, we do. That's why we're talking to you and not lefties like Marco Rubio. You've heard the offer. You've got 3 seconds.
Sir, I'd like to make a counteroffer of 99.999.
Hey, jerkface, our next contestant is Rand Paul.
You've got a deal.
Great. Nice bargaining. We're going to have fun.
Absolutely.
Not you, us.
Thank you. You won't regret it.
Won't regret it what?
Won't regret it, sir.
Congratulations. Get out of our sight.
It just felt so great to make a deal with those guys. And I'm really going to make that $1 billion last.
Don't screw up in New Hampshire.
Amalgamated Bank means convenience.
Their ATM wasn't even attached to the bank. It just emptied into the back of some guy's truck. What the fuck is that about?
Amalgamated Bank.
Welcome back to Phoenix Tonight. I'm Roy Pasmore. Joining me now is John Ritzheimer, who last Friday organized the anti-Islamic Freedom of Speech rally. How did it go, John?
Well, it went tremendously well, Roy. We carried anti-Islamic signs, we wore t-shirts that said F Islam, we even had a cartoon contest to see who could draw the funniest picture of Muhammad. It was a real hoot.
Given the recent violent reactions to this kind of freedom of expression, why did you feel that it was necessary to force the issue?
Because it's our First Amendment right. We need to be able to express ourselves however we want to, and they need to learn to be tolerant. In the end, I believe that both goals were accomplished.
So what happens next?
Well, coming off this big win, I'm actually moving on to my next important cause. This time, I'll be taking on another reckless adversary that's been pissing me off for years. This time, I'm going after Poison Ivy.
Poison Ivy? The plant?
The f***ing plant. Listen here, how many times have you gone on a hike through the woods, exercising your First Amendment right to a nature walk, only to get home and find a giant itchy rash all over your body thanks to some damn Poison Ivy?
Maybe once?
Well, I say it's time to teach Poison Ivy a lesson! Listen up, America. It's our God-given right to rub Poison Ivy all over our bodies without fear of receiving a nasty reaction. If Poison Ivy don't like it, that's Poison Ivy's problem!
But...
No, look, Roy. I'm an ex-Marine. I'm no idiot. I realize the change isn't gonna happen overnight. I mean, look how many Muhammad cartoon competitions we had to have before someone finally didn't get shot. But if we're persistent and if we act with conviction, we'll end up victorious.
So you're encouraging people to rub Poison Ivy all over their body.
All over their bodies. We need to rub stronger and we need to rub harder. We need to rub with our friends and our loved ones. If we show Poison Ivy that we're not afraid, then and only then will it see the error of its ways and leave us alone.
Have you considered that it might be best if you just left Poison Ivy alone?
No, you're not getting it, Roy. This is our First Amendment right. We have to take action! So this weekend, I'm organizing an anti-poison ivy rally and rubbing competition. It's all happening at the Phoenix Convention Center.
Naturally.
Oh, we'll have poison ivy patches that you can walk through and poison ivy leaf piles for the kids to jump in. Bring the entire family. The first person there to cover their body with poison ivy will win $500 and a tube of hydrocortisone.
What about the rashes and the allergic reactions?
Yeah, well, if that stuff happens, that ain't on me. That's on poison ivy. Now, to kick things off, I will rub this here poison ivy all over my face. Yeah! How do you like that, poison ivy? That's pissing you off, right? Yeah, well, tough crap! It's my First Amendment right!
Your face is turning bright red. You don't look so good.
Ow! It burns, Roy! It burns!
I'm gonna go get you some ointment. Sit tight.
Ow! It's in my eyes, Roy! It's in my throat! America! Save me!
Try not to scratch.
Hello, Sproutlets! Get ready for Nina's World, a new show here at Sprout starring Nina and Star from The Good Night Show. It will be fun, exciting, and guest starring Mandy Patinkin, who plays Saul Berenson on Showtime's Homeland. Here are some of the wonderful moments you will see on the show.
And that, Sproutlets, is how you say happy in Spanish. What do you think of that, Mandy Patinkin?
You know, children, the world is a dangerous place, with ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and various terrorist groups constantly planning attacks. You must always be vigilant. But that is often fruitless because of red tape and bureaucracy. Our government is often inept with these practices.
What does he mean, Nina? Should we learn some sign language now?
Nothing makes me happier than seeing the FBI stand around with their dicks in their hands.
On Nina's World, you'll learn new songs.
Okay, Sproutlets, are you ready to sing the Itsy Bitsy Spider? Great! Star, are you ready?
I'm ready, Nina.
Great! Are you ready, Mandy Patinkin?
What the fuck are you doing?
We're going to sing the Itsy Bitsy Spider.
Hold on! Hold on! Finishing the hat! Finishing the hat! No, no, I can't! I can't! It's not in me!
Sure you can, Mandy Patinkin.
Nina, you are the smartest and the dumbest fucking person I have ever known.
Okay.
And then, Sproutlets, things get very real.
I don't understand, Mandy Patinkin.
This is all bullshit. You both know what that is, right? This is all a facade. The only thing we can rely on are dark assets for drone strikes.
How about we learn some sign language, Mandy Patinkin?
Nina? Star? This is Quinn. You won't like it.
In anticipation of the upcoming Star Wars Episode 7, the Final Edition Radio Hour brings you yet another extended scene from the original Star Wars.
His computer is off! Luke, you've switched off your targeting computer. What's wrong?
Nothing. I'm all right. I'm using the Force.
Excuse me?
I'm trusting my feelings. I'm using the Force.
Then why did we give you all that training on the targeting computer? Great, just great. No, go ahead, Luke. Use the fucking Force. If you just said you were gonna do that in the first place, we could have launched this attack before the fucking Death Star was up our ass! Hope Darth Vader isn't using the Force too. He's only been a major bad guy for 30-something fucking years. I imagine he's pretty fucking good at it. So basically, if Han Solo doesn't decide to come back at the spur of the moment, you are fucked.
The Final Edition Radio Hour presents Great Moments from the Lives of the Monarchs with the Worst King Names Ever. Number 2. Ethelred II, King of the English from 978 to 1016, known to history as Ethelred the Unready. In this dramatization, Ethelred the Unready receives emissaries from Burgundy.
Your Majesty, presenting the emissaries from Burgundy.
What? Is that today? I don't have anything done. Jesus, am I supposed to have some kind of... Fuck, where's Burgundy?
This has been Great Moments from the Lives of the Monarchs with the Worst King Names Ever, from the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Okay, son, time for bed.
Aw, read me some more, Dad.
No, it's very late.
Okay. Dad?
Yes, son.
Is God really dead?
No, Bobby. Nietzsche was just speaking figuratively. He was simply implying that existence is hopeless and life has no meaning.
Oh, so there's no hope?
Oh, there's always hope, Bobby. You see, Nietzsche died of syphilis, with his head rotting from the inside. Remember that talk we had last week about how sex can kill you?
Yeah.
Well, sweet dreams.
Dad, tell me the story about the man whose dreams were crushed by the clinging spider woman.
No, not tonight. Tomorrow.
Okay. Tell me about the gooks that kept coming and coming and coming.
Tomorrow!
Tell me again about hard time and how you weren't ashamed about what you had to do on the inside.
Okay, the three bears.
Goody!
Once upon a time, there were three bears. But they got under the wire. And I fell asleep. I shouldn't have been asleep. Don't sleep! Never sleep! I shouldn't have come back alive! Well, good night, son.
Night, Dad. I love you.
You don't know what love is
until you've had your heart ripped out by the pulsating tendrils of the Spider Woman!
Carol, is my next patient finished with the paperwork yet? Fine. Let him come back to my office then. Thank you. Hello, Mrs.
Ms. Johnson.
Oh, sorry. Ms. Johnson, I'm Dr. Hoopley. Please, have a seat. So you're a new patient coming in for couples therapy, is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
And will your partner be joining us today?
Well, it's a little difficult to say.
Are you feeling all right, Ms. Johnson? There's a bathroom right down the hall.
No, it's not me. I mean, I'm fine. It's my boyfriend, my...
Stop being in denial, you devil slut. I am your master.
Okay, he's my incubus. My incubus! I can't make him it leave, so I'm just trying to find some way to get along with him.
Okay, this is a new one on me. I'm not sure if I'm qualified for this.
Please, Dr. Hoopley, I don't know what else to do.
Well, you could start by being a little more giving and a lot less taking.
Oh, really? Okay, give me one good example, Matthias.
Well, like how you never let me watch Two Broke Girls when I want to.
Christ, Matthias! You can summon the wrath of hell, but you still can't figure out the DVR?
Hey, I'm not a tech guy, so shoot me. Oh, and how about when I helped you get that promotion at work? And you didn't even thank me!
You made everyone else up for the position have mysterious accidents. I was lucky I didn't get fired, and I never asked you to do it!
Well, you were hinting around.
He does sort of have a point there. Wait a minute, what am I...
Seriously? You're taking his sign on this.
No, I mean, yes. I don't know. My advice is to refer you to a specialist, Ms. Johnson. Here's the information of a Dr. Flavinen over at Bellevue. I think he may be way better suited to help you and your, Matthias.
You think I'm crazy.
No.
Just like the rest of them.
No.
Well, I think you're unprofessional and unethical. And your office smells like cabbage and there are too many plants. Mark my words, Dr. Hoopley. I will be writing a very scathing Yelp review about you.
I'm not on Yelp.
See, Doc? She's batshit crazy.
What?
It's her, not me, right? Now get on your knees, you succulent little bitch.
No!
With luck, we'll be back with more of the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Hi, welcome back to the Final Edition Radio Hour. I'm Tony Hendra. The Final Edition Radio Hour models itself in format and spirit after the National Lampoon Radio Hour, which was in its heyday exactly 40 years ago when I was editing the magazine. I thought it might be fun to revisit some of the material from the mid-70s and see how it holds up. So hang on to your hats for what we used to call at the Lampoon, a trip down memory lane.
Good evening. I'm Roger De Swans, welcoming you to Front Row Center and tonight's drama, Death of a Salesman. In contemporary drama, two schools contend, Strindberg and Ibsen. The passionate psychological dream drama of Strindberg is best represented in the United States by Tennessee Williams. Ibsen's social realism reached its American apotheosis in Arthur Miller. To look back at the politically committed theater of the 1930s, to reread Elmer Rice, Clifford Odets, and Arthur Miller, is to realize how Miller's classical training transcends mere socialist ideology to create an eternally moving, almost Yiddish drama of the family, its hopes and heartbreaks. Willie Loman, his very name, Low Man, signifying his status, is the New World Everyman. He is all of us, and his sons are all our sons. Wordsworth, with poetic presence, might have had Willie Loman in mind when he wrote, "The world is too much with us, late and soon. Getting and spending, we lay waste our powers." Willie Loman's wife observes, in the touching epilogue over Willie's grave, "Attention must be paid to such people." I can only add, attention must be paid to such drama. Ladies and gentlemen, Death of a Salesman.
Your faith, and you can light the world. Set fire to the church of your choice.
Hey, guys, you tired of talking like this with no class? A real cruddy accent that turns the broads off, makes everybody laugh at you behind your back, huh? You're being held back from high-paying career opportunities by the way you talk? L'Académie de Indianapolis de l'Accent Français to the rescue.
That is, my friend, the Indianapolis Academy of the French Accent. Yes, that is right. In 10 days only, your whole life it can change, my friend. You can become the most popular man in your shop, your factory, your office, and the girls, they are, how you say, pudding in the hand, oui? The Indianapolis Academy of the French Accent, it is not a school of the language, no, no, no. No boring grammar, no silly exercise to study. We teach you not a single word of the French, only the accent, in the privacy of your own home. No high school diploma necessary, no, no. No previous training in the language. My friend, it is so easy, and in 10 days only, you will speak English with a charming, authentic French accent. You do not believe me, eh? That is understandable, mon ami. But listen to the satisfied students, oui?
I was going, how you say, nowhere in a big hurry because, well, mon ami, because I sound like, how you say, a pig with my bad accent in English. But now, after only 10 days study with the Indianapolis Academy of French Accent, voilà! I am now head of the old shipping department.
Alors, it was incredible. The Indianapolis Academy of the French Accent changed my life. Imagine me, a simple kid from the Bronx, head waitress in a fancy restaurant.
Yes, my friend, it really worked. Why not enroll now? Here is all the information you need.
All right. Send $10 with your name and address to Indianapolis Academy of the French Accent, Box 411, Indianapolis, Indiana. All right, that's Indianapolis Academy of the French Accent, Box 411, Indianapolis, Indiana. You got it.
A lone starship hurtles across a trackless void. A single human spark bulleting beyond the barriers of space and time. Yes, radio listeners, set your imagination for the year 2000. It's time to blast off into the incredible with Flash Lesbo, Space Explorer. When we last left Flash, he and his sidekick, Dr. Narco, the intelligent thermos, had been captured by the robot Amazons from the planet Stinky Pinky. Now, as we listen, Flash stands before the throne of Clarina, Queen of Space.
Well, cut off my legs and call me Shorty. Who is this over here?
Oh, hello.
That sounds
Hello? I think I'm in the wrong room. I don't know who you are. What are you wearing that? What's that, a muumuu?
Dear, come over here and sit on my lap. Tell me all your problems.
Oh, no, I think I better get out of here. Hello? Where's the door? Doorknob fell off.
Good evening, this is John Belushi, and this is the National Lampoon Radio Hour. Today, we're going to be interviewing three of the greatest superstars Hollywood's ever produced.
You're too kind.
Why don't you introduce yourselves?
Hi, John.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. Go ahead, Chuck.
Chuck Bronson.
Clint Eastwood, John. Delighted to be here.
Clint Eastwood, Chuck Bronson.
You are so coy, dear. I'm Lee Marvin. Hi.
And Lee Marvin.
Suey.
They're here today to talk to you about something that's been on their mind for years, and they're coming out with it here for the first time. They have formed a group called the Hollywood Alliance. Did I get that wrong?
Gay Alliance. Mm-hmm.
Gay Alliance. Now, I can't believe that you gentlemen are really gay. I mean, Charles Bronson, how could you be gay?
He's an actor. If I may speak for Chuck, who is one of the finest actors in the business.
This is Clint Eastwood, yes.
Yes. Chuck's an actor, and he, you know, what he does and what he's been doing is a wonderful act.
Oh, you're beautiful.
But it's time to be real, isn't it, Chuck?
Excuse me, it's time to knock the closet doors, John. It's time to bust him in, if you ask me.
I'll start the ball rolling. It's the Hollywood Superstar Gay Alliance, John, and we have been thinking about this for years, and it's an organization that we've started recently, I would say in the last 9 months.
It just seems amazing to me. Here you are, Charles Bronson, Mr. Macho of the screen. How could you be gay?
In the first place, you're presuming right off the bean that because I'm gay, I can't be macho. And this is a fallacy, a myth.
It's also a myth, if I may break in, to assume that what we are on the screen is what we are off the screen, and we're not. We're actors doing a honest day's work.
I think the assumption is that if you're gay, you're bad. I mean, it's wrong.
And I think our biggest problem, if I may, Lee, is convincing some of our peers to come out with us.
It's amazing. What other people in Hollywood are gay? I know you hear rumors.
Who isn't, John? Let's put it that way.
Who isn't? I think that's really stepping over the line. There are many heterosexuals in Los Angeles.
Name one, sweetheart.
Rod McCuer.
Well, for instance, who?
Let's just get out in the open. This girl's heels are worn down with to a frazzle, just number one.
Who?
I lived with Jimmy Pearsall for 2 years, and I'm saying it now.
Lee, that's a real shock. That's a real shock.
It's no shock to me, Lee.
It's no shock to me either.
There are a lot of little girls on the set coming up now who just can't step forward like we can, and we're so happy to be able to help them out.
Like who?
Just Ken Howard, for instance.
Ken Howard, right.
Ken came up to me. He was shooting that dreadful series, whatever that was called, about the two solicitors, whatever they're called. Ken came up to me crying her eyes out, said, "Where do I go? Who's going to take me?" And I just held him and said, "It'll be all right." And it was. I mean, the show flopped, didn't it? Did they pick it up?
It's that kind of compassion that Lee, for instance, has, and Clint here, and Paul Newman, who's been doing a tremendous amount of work for us.
Paul Newman is gay?
Gay, of course.
I don't believe that for a minute.
Oh, well, this is...
Well, go down to headquarters and ask him. Dear, really?
He's right there. He's typing right now.
Sure.
Well, I know you've made movies with a lot of actors. Like, there was a movie called The Magnificent Seven. We've had Yul Brynner.
Yul Brynner,
James Coburn.
Eli Wallach.
They weren't.
Yes. Everybody in the film was gay. And I think that's how it worked, except for Horst. But
they called that the Summer of Sin when they made that movie. And we were...
Well, no, that's just...
So Horst Buchholz was the only one in that movie who wasn't gay.
That's right.
Charles Bronson, now you made a movie, The Great Escape.
May I just ask where you got that belt, John? I'm sorry to interrupt.
That's not fair. You should describe it to incredible.
I got a
buckle sort of looks like a snake.
I got a leather store on 10th Street somewhere.
Oh, yes.
The Great Escape.
You made that film with a number of... James Garner, you made it
Steve
with.
Steve McQueen.
Mm-hmm. Don Pleasance.
I'll never forget you and Steve McQueen on that cart when you were stuck.
You'll never forget.
Oh, God.
I think that's where I really got to know Steve well.
Steve came out just after that.
No, you see, Steve's another small man.
He's not gay now, is he?
Well, but Steve is gay, you see.
He is.
There are some small men who are gay.
Oh, yeah?
I'm sure you'd like to know about a lot of people who are gay. And, of course,
I
we're not
like
here
to
spread the word on people who are gay. People who are
it's
gay, we don't want
show.
Other people to know about
it's
it.
Not it, a gossip.
That's
not
their
a
business.
Show. Jesus, it's
but
not
we're,
a
we are here to say that we're gay, and we are the head of a rather large organization now of gay people who are proud to be gay.
If we told you right now who people were, I mean, who, for instance, Walter Cronkite.
Walter Cronkite is gay?
Casey Stengel.
Casey Stengel, I can't
the old
believe
dog,
Casey's
you know? God. She has the biggest collection of tiaras I've ever seen.
Really?
For instance, there are people that you just wouldn't expect, you know, couples. I mean, people that don't know about couples, for instance. Mm-hmm. Linus Pauling and guess who? Just try to match them.
Dr. Spock.
I don't Dr. Spock?
Dr. Mm-hmm. Spock?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's not important who's gay or who isn't gay. What's important to us is that...
is how gay they are.
How gay they are.
I'm being selfish, I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Now, you're making a joke of this. Is this a serious organization?
It's
or
not
is
only
it,
serious.
Or is it a lot of other gay groups?
He is always making jokes, always drinking. He's always a little bit out of
this
touch.
This girl is the boozer, and she's not ashamed of it.
Oh, God, yes.
Bottle of wild turkey, and I'm happy.
Now, what about, are there any sports people that are gay?
Nitschke.
Ray,
I went out with Nitschke for 2 summers.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who used to be known as Lou Alcindor, is gay.
Oh, boy.
Everybody knows that, of course.
That's amazing. And, I didn't know that.
When he swims, it's a sight to behold.
That beach.
Now, you can't tell me a guy like Dick Butkus is gay.
Dick Butkus.
Dick Butkus is gay.
You've
and,
never seen Dick Butkus in a muumuu. He's incredibly gorgeous.
What about some rock stars?
Jerry Garcia's.
Jerry Garcia is gay? This is incredible. What about...
the Beach Boys, all of them.
They've been going steady for years.
They're going together there.
Bobby Rydell.
What about...
Dr. Stillman.
Dr. Stillman is gay?
But the whole
she
point
certainly
of...
is.
I'm sorry.
Jay Silverheels once said to me...
Hi, I'm Frank Rizzo, asking you to give generously to help support the Philadelphia Police League for Retarded Children. This is the worthy organization that gives a retarded child the opportunity to become a policeman. Founded in 1844, the league provides training in every aspect of crime prevention, from tying one's own... shoelace to lying under oath. Many of the youngsters aided by the league have risen to high position in law enforcement. In fact, all of us have. So please help us to rid the streets of morons, psychopaths, and mental defectives and put them where they belong, on the force. Thank you.
Cry at the envelope, please. Thank you. And the winner is... Linda Blair, the exorcist!
Gosh. Gee. I just want to say thank you to our director, Billy Friedkin, and Jason, and Max, and Lee, and Ellen, and David Smith, that's our Make It Man, and of course, Bill Blatty, who
wrote the screenplay.
And, it's because of all of you that I'm up here accepting this award, and I love you all so much.
Ah, lick it.
Stop it!
Piglet!
Mother!
Stroke the Oscar.
Make it stop!
Ah, the sow is mine. The award is mine. Give me the Oscar. Sit on Oscar, you stinking slut. You cow, touch it, lick it. Look what you've done. Look what you've won. Ah, lick it. Ah!
Mommy! Ma! Hey, Mommy!
Go. Listen, my brother, the grapevine says you're going to throw a tantrum.
Well, I don't know, Charlie.
Look, kid, it's about time you got off your knees and started standing on your own 2 feet.
I figured I'd crawl around a little bit longer, you know?
Listen, Terry, how much do you weigh? You know when you weigh 10 pounds, 4 ounces, you were beautiful? You could have been another Mason Reese, any top kid star. You could have been up there. If it wasn't for that skunk we got you for a stage mother, she weaned you too fast.
Oh, Charlie, it wasn't her. It was you, Charlie. Don't you remember that night at the baby contest? You came down to my crib and you said, kid, this ain't your night. We're going for the prize on Tatum O'Neal. Remember? This ain't my night. My night. I could have taken O'Neal apart. So what happens? She gets an Oscar, and I get a one-way ticket to Pottyville. Oh, Charlie, he was my brother. He should have taken care of me just a little bit so I wouldn't have had to take a crawl.
Goo, 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 goo. You don't know what I'm talking about. Terry, listen to me. I gave you a pacifier. I coddled you. I warmed your milk. I changed your diaper.
You don't understand, Charlie. I could have had class. I could have been a somebody. I could have been an anal retentive instead of a thumbsucker, which is what I am. Let's face it, Charlie. Oh, wow, Charlie. Put down the rattle, Charlie.
Here, kid, you better take this. You're going to need it. I don't have time to fool around with you. I just dropped a big load in my pants. Mommy!
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 Hey, mommy!
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 Mommy! Mommy!
Hey, Ma!
Around no more. I'm Tony Hendron.
And I'm Jeff Chrysler.
And we want to talk to you about the hardcore satire we do on the Final Edition Radio Hour.
It's not just satire, Tony. It's parody, ridicule, caricature, lampoon, burlesque, banter, mockery, spoofs.
Oh, I guess. And it's also pastiche, pasquinade, with some persiflage and raillery thrown in.
The Final Edition is a big tent, Tony.
We do satire. Satire hurts. All that other stuff just tickles.
Jonathan Swift once said a little satire goes a long way.
No, he didn't. That was Aristophanes.
Actually, it was David Brooks.
We do satire because satire can bring down empires.
Oh, right, like Colbert's satire of Bush at the White House Correspondents' Dinner ended the war in Iraq.
You're just being a bitch, man.
What we do on the Final Edition Radio Hour is make the good people laugh, any which way. Do you disagree, Tony?
No, I guess not.
Okay, so listen to...
The Final Edition Radio Hour. The Final Edition Radio Hour presents great moments from the lives of the kings with the worst king names ever. Number 3. Henry I, King of Navarre, from 1270 to 1274, and better known as Henry the Fat. In this scene, Henry the Fat receives an offer of marriage.
Your Majesty, presenting the Danish ambassador.
Your Highness, the King of Denmark offers you the hand of his daughter and presents you with this rich dowry of gold and jewels.
Oh, boy! Are those the gold coins with the chocolate inside?
This is real gold, Your Highness.
Oh, that sounds delicious. Not! Do you at least have some Danish?
Some Danish?
You're the Danish ambassador, hello! I like cheese Danish with cherries, too. Cherry cheese Danish, and melt some butter on it. Oh, man, I can taste it now.
Your Highness, this is a fortune in precious gems.
Next! Cross the Danish off the list. Gee, I hope I have better luck with the ambassador from Turkey.
This has been Great Moments from the Lives of the Monarchs with the Worst King Names Ever, from the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Hello, I'm Elma Burke, and welcome to Women on Women. Today we're talking to transgender advocate Timothy Flan. He's not just an advocate, spokesperson, and father, but also a transgender man who was once a woman himself. And today we will talk to him about his journey from Tatiana to Timothy. Hello, Timothy, and welcome to Women on Women.
Thanks. Nice tits.
Excuse me?
Just saying.
Oh, thank you? Now, you are the president of an organization called Men Only, and I must say, I love that name. Wonderfully ironic.
Thank you. We just wanted to get away from distractions and get some work done on the issues, you know.
Now, if I wanted to find out more about this organization...
You couldn't.
I mean, if I wanted to attend a meeting or an event...
Sorry. As I said, women, no offense, are just fucking annoying. I mean, you can't get anything done. Bitch, 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 bitch. You know what I mean?
Yes, well, as a woman, I'm afraid I do take offense to that.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay. Can I ask you when you realized you were a man trapped in a woman's body?
I remember the exact second.
Really?
Yep. I looked in the mirror and I said, hey, I'd fuck me.
Okay, that's it. You're offensive and I'm not going to sit here and listen to this.
I'm kidding. Jesus, don't get your panties in a bunch, Jenny Craig. Chicks are so fucking sensitive. Look, it's been a very hard road for me. I knew I was really a boy since I was the age of like 4. I was bullied in school. I tried to commit suicide 3 times in grade school. So I think I have the right to a little levity.
Sorry. So, seriously, when did you know that you were really a man?
One day my girlfriend just started complaining about how much I watch sports, and I just clocked her.
And you realized that your anger at being trapped in a woman's body was taking a devastating psychological toll?
Sure, yeah, that.
What has this long journey taught you?
Women need to shut the f*** up when the goddamn game is on.
It sounds like you have a lot of work to do on your anger. You might benefit from our symposium on domestic violence.
Yeah, those things are great for networking.
I have so many questions, but our time is short. What's the biggest hurdle you've had to overcome?
Tell you what I don't miss. All my whining and bitching. I mean, I would have bullied me too, for God's sakes.
Before we go, let me ask you. What do you think is the biggest gender issue in our society today?
Wage inequality. I mean, I make a lot more now in the nonprofit sector as a man. I mean, a lot more, which is amazing. I mean, if I was making this much money before I cut off my tits, I would have gotten a cock a lot earlier.
Well, it's been great having you on the show.
It's been a pleasure being here. Now, get me a sandwich.
Alrighty then.
In anticipation of the upcoming Star Wars Episode 7, the Final Edition Radio Hour brings you another extended scene from the original Star Wars.
Master, I am floating uncontrollably in space.
I could sense it, Lord Vader.
The Death Star has been blown up.
I know, Lord Vader.
We need a new one.
We shall rebuild, Lord Vader.
And if that one gets blown up, we need to build another one.
Maybe, Lord Vader.
And the stormtroopers all need new uniforms, with cooler weapons, and everything.
Who's going to pay for that?
It seems we have unlimited funds, my master.
If that was the case, Lord Vader, why do the rebels keep winning major things? Why aren't we just paying everyone off?
I like fighting.
And why not just send tons of stormtroopers and Sith all over the galaxy and take over everything? It shouldn't be a problem if we have unlimited funds.
We haven't really funded the stormtroopers' target practice. They can't hit anything except our Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru and our Sith. They look cool, but they're not great.
We are not very good at this taking over the universe thing, are we?
No, my master. Not really.
Shit. Oh, fuck it. I'm joining the Jedi's.
The Final Edition Radio Hour presents the final installment of Great Moments from the Lives of the Monarchs with the Worst King Names Ever. Edward I was King of England from 1272 to 1307, and is remembered as the Hammer of the Scots, which is not such a bad nickname for him. In this dramatization, the Hammer of the Scots discusses peace terms with his Scottish adversaries.
And so, if you agree to the terms I've laid forth, we'll lay down our arms.
I'll tell you what I'll do if you just step a little closer, okay?
All righty, then.
I think I'm gonna do this.
Oh! Oh! You hit me right in the noggin with a ball-peen hammer, you shite!
Yes! It's hammer time! I'm sorry! Really, I just can't resist fucking with you people. You get so hopping mad, and then you start yelling in that Groundskeeper Willie accent. Are you hit me with a hammer? You're a fucking riot!
I can't believe I fell for it again!
Duh, it's right there in my name, Hammer of the Scots. Oh, God. See you next month.
This has been Great Moments from the Lives of the Monarchs with the Worst King Names Ever. From the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Placidly amid the noise and waste, and remember what comfort there may be in owning a piece thereof. Avoid quiet and passive persons unless you are in need of sleep. Rotate your tires. Speak glowingly of those greater than yourself, and heed well their advice, even though they be turkeys. Know what to kiss and when. Consider that two wrongs never make a right, but that three do. Wherever possible, put people on hold. Be comforted that in the face of all aridity and disillusionment, and despite the changing fortunes of time, there is always a big future in computer maintenance.
You are a fluke,
remember the Pueblo. Strive at all times to bend, fold, spindle, and mutilate. Know yourself. If you need help, call the FBI. Exercise caution in your daily affairs, especially with those persons closest to you. That lemon on your left, for instance. Be assured that a walk through the ocean of most souls would scarcely get your feet wet. Fall not in love, therefore. It will stick to your face. Gracefully surrender the things of youth, birds, clean air, tuna, Taiwan, and let not the sands of time get in your lunch. Hire people with hooks. For a good time, call 606-4311. Ask for Ken. Take heart amid the deepening gloom that your dog is finally getting enough cheese, and reflect that whatever misfortune may be your lot, it could only be worse in Milwaukee. You are a fluke of the universe. You have no right to be here. And whether you can hear it or not, the universe is laughing behind your back. Therefore, make peace with your God, whatever you conceive him to be, hairy thunderer or cosmic muffin, with all its hopes, dreams, promises, and urban renewal. The world continues to deteriorate. Give up. You are a fool of the universe. You have no right to be here. Whether you can hear it or not, you and us living behind your back. You are a fool of the universe.
Well, that's our show. Thanks for listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour. The voices of the Final Edition are performed by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hindra, Jeff Hendrick, Dan Vitale, Jeff Chrysler, Barry Lenk, John Marshall, Abby Parker, Rachel Rauch, Steve Rosenfield, James Mount, Rob Miller, Kayla Merrill, Andrew Danish, Leslie Shapira, Ann Tuchel, and Darby Worley. Credit to our writers at the Final Edition Radio Hour, Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hindra, Jeff Hendrick, Abby Parker, Jeff Chrysler, John Marshall, Barry Lenk, Leslie Shapira, Kurt Weitzman, Kate Knowles, Jeremy Rayburn, and Steve Rosenfield. The Final Edition is produced and directed by Tony Hindra and Jeff Chrysler, West Coast production by Barry Lenk. Audio edited and engineered by Greg Russ and Andrew Hammond. The Final Edition Radio Hour is the property of the Final Edition LLC, copyright 2014.